when you're talking about really rediscovering who you are and finding you and figuring out, like, yeah, what lights you up again? I think we need some introspection. I really do. And I think in the culture we live in, you're right, it's like go, 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 busy, busy, busy all the time. We don't allow ourselves to just sit in our thoughts.
Hi, I'm Amy Kiefer, a nurse, doula, and personal trainer.
And I'm Crystal Howald, a women's health and orthopedic physical therapist.
We're the co-founders of Expecting and Empowered, and we just so happen to be sisters. We built this business because we saw a huge gap between the information that women were given during pregnancy and postpartum and the information that they need. We're committed to helping close the gap so that women are better equipped to navigate these demanding and challenging years.
Yes, we're both moms of three, so we know firsthand how many changes women go through physically, mentally, and emotionally because women aren't getting enough information to make informed decisions about their own health. It leaves mothers picking up the pieces afterwards. We need that to change.
With our professional backgrounds, we're going to pull the curtain back on this season and give you the information you need to thrive.
We're on a mission to change women's health. Let's do this.
Today, I am really excited to sit down with my friend, Elizabeth Emmerich from Experienced Motherhood. Elizabeth is a mom of three. She's a licensed therapist and registered play therapist. She currently uses her education and experience to support women to experience motherhood in their own unique way. And today we talked about navigating motherhood and some of the challenges that come along with it. We both gave some of our personal experience, and it was a really fantastic conversation. If you're feeling a little bit more like you need to take care of yourself and the reasons why you should do that, I think you should listen to this episode. So now let's get into the episode. Elizabeth, let's get started by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you decided to start Experienced Motherhood.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. So I am Elizabeth. Like you said, I have three boys, kind of like you, in similar ages. I have a 5-year-old, an almost 8-year-old, and almost 10-year-old, which the 10-year-old part like blows my mind. I don't know where 10 years went, but I'm here. And so then I also am a therapist here in Minnesota. I'm a registered play therapist, a licensed therapist that works a lot with perinatal population, as well as teens and kind of anxiety and trauma. Just you kind of name it. I really like the diversity part of it. And then about a year and a half ago, I started Experience Motherhood, in which I have a podcast that really dives into all the things of motherhood. It really is kind of a journey of unlocking a woman's unique story and really embracing who you are as an individual. And we talk about mental health, we talk about journeys and things that people have been through, as well as have a few experts on as well. And you have been on the podcast, and that was such a fun honor. So that was really fun. And then I also have some resources with Experienced Motherhood. I just really felt there needed to be some kind of bridge between the mental health world and people who might feel like they're struggling in life, but maybe don't really have a mental health diagnosis. I think there's a lot of us who, myself included, that sometimes just have a hard time. And I think moms in particular are that group sometimes. It's a really big transition, and I know we're going to get into that. And so I really just felt like there needed to be some other resource that could be utilized by more women, not just by individual therapy.
And I have had the honor of interviewing so many therapists at this point in
yes,
my
you
career.
Have.
I mean, I would say like at least 100. And one thing that always comes back up when we ask them how we can do better for our kids, they basically always say, you have to work on yourself because it's the modeling that's going to help. So I want to start by level setting our whole conversation. And I want to know why you believe it's so important to be clear on who you are and how that is going to impact your child's development.
Yeah, and I think even maybe flipping that question around can kind of help us understand a little bit why it's important. So if you ask yourself more of, you know, what happens when you don't feel like yourself? Like, just think for a minute, you know, what does it feel like when you don't feel like you? Maybe you feel really overwhelmed. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're just really uncertain of the future, or even how to do this mom thing, or so many different, usually unpleasant things come up when we don't know who we are, and it can feel really just scary. And so I think when we think about getting to know ourselves, like, it is, I'll be honest, an annoying answer that even myself will give people as a therapist. Yeah, it's annoying. Okay, go work on myself. Like, okay, but it's true. And that's why therapists keep telling you that, because when we are really clear on who we are, and we'll get into how to do that, but when we know who we are, we feel more confident, we feel more secure in our relationships and our life. And then when we're feeling more joyful and confident, we get to model that for our kids. And personally, I would much rather model that kind of me to my kids than a mom who is overwhelmed, scattered, anxious, unsure of what to do in life. I just feel like that's not the mom that I want to be.
Yeah. And I think the inspiring part is at least having the goal of seeking that versus just, you know, being complacent, kind of always in that frenetic state. Okay. So as I just talked about, I have been in the space of motherhood since I became a mom, because just like you, I was like, okay, this is a huge shift. Not only do I want to share my journey, but I'm also looking towards other people. Like, I got really obsessed with therapists and other people that just knew more than me. And I've found time and time again that one thing that is very pervasive in the motherhood space is comparison. Everyone is still, I feel like people know they shouldn't compare, but it's very natural. And they're looking around, and the way that it makes moms feel is that they're not doing enough, whether it's, you know, they're not patient enough, or their kids don't have enough opportunities, or whatever it is, that feeling of that you're not enough. I want you to talk to our listeners about how they could find their own values and how that might help with that feeling.
Yeah, the comparison thing is a really big one. And I don't know if that ever really goes away, but I think it is true when you get really clear on what you value, what you believe, and really doing some of that self-reflection, that all leads to figuring out more of, again, of who you are. And that's going to lead to a different level of security in yourself that you kind of just don't compare as often as maybe you would when you feel insecure. And so in order to find like your values more, I mean, it really will take some time, which as moms, we often don't have. So I think that is a lot of times why so many of us feel so lost in who we are and just unsure of even what do we value, what's important. I don't have, you know, an hour to just go take a reflective journey in my journal, right? Like, it just usually doesn't happen, especially in early motherhood, especially in the newborn stage, toddlers. It's really hard. But if you can even carve out the 5 minutes, maybe it's before your kids come home from school, maybe it's in the car line, wherever you can find a pocket of time, even just asking yourself a couple of questions like, what went really well today for me? What brought me joy? Just starting to identify some of those things that light you up can be a way to self-reflect. And then I also think it's really important to examine any of those past experiences. So what didn't go well in the past? Maybe it's prior to motherhood. Maybe it's previously in your motherhood journey. What didn't go well? And try to identify, were you not aligned with some values that you hold? Or maybe things went really well. What was it that you can take from that experience into your current season?
The time thing is really hard. And we all use time. Like, I'm completely caught up on Love is Blind season six.
Oh my goodness, I'm
So
watching
it's
it too.
like, it's just like, I know that I'm using time in certain ways. And sometimes we just have to be really honest with ourselves. Be like, okay, before I start this episode, could I give 15 minutes to just, I know that there's some things that don't feel good in my life right now, to try to figure it out instead of just going, because I do feel like we really do get on a hamster wheel and we just keep doing the same thing. And then we wonder why we don't feel well. Okay, I have to ask this next question though, because I think this is one of the toughest parts. We hear this from our community at Expecting and Empowered. What happens if your partner or your in-laws' parenting values are different from your own? I think that this is one of the huge challenges, and we find a partner, but we might not have all of these conversations, or unless we are actually parenting and a child needs to be disciplined, maybe we didn't know that that's how that person was going to handle that. So I want you to kind of talk about how you could work through if your partner or like in-laws have different values than you do. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it'll be addressed differently depending on if it is your in-laws versus your partner. And so let's take the partner first, and then we'll
Okay.
get into the in-laws. For your partner, I think, A, if you haven't had any of those talks before getting together, before having kids, that's okay. Like, it is okay. There's so much that you're, quote, supposed to cover before you either get married or commit for a long-term relationship. You just can't do it all. And I also believe that things change
Right.
after that, right? So we might have had a, expectation or perception of what our motherhood or parent journey would be like. And it really didn't maybe turn out that way. Or maybe it exceeded your expectations, whatever it is. But I think it really does come back to the communication piece. And if you don't know your own values, how can you communicate that to your partner? But if you're recognizing things that your partner's doing, let's say that you're like, oh, like that doesn't, I don't want to parent that way, or that's not a value for me. I mean, that'll help you make that clarity, I think, for yourself. But I think just communicating and also knowing that you're a new unit together, right? Like, you guys need to have some fundamental values that do overlap for it to honestly be a successful relationship and to be successful parents, not every value, but you have to have a few fundamental ones to be successful. And so I think having that talk with your partner, asking them, what's important to you as we parent? What's important as we discipline? What are some things that you like absolutely don't ever want to do or practice, or any question like that just gets the ball rolling. And you'll have to, yeah, maybe compromise a little bit. Maybe you can tweak things. You're going to have stronger values that are like non-negotiable for you, and you need to make that clear, and vice versa for your partner. They're going to have really clear ones. They're like, no, this is like really important to me. So it's okay if you didn't have that conversation yet. You can still have that. Maybe you have a special date where you're just like, you know what? Let's just talk about how we were raised as parents, which I think is really key too, because one of my favorite books I always recommend actually to therapy clients that come in for parenting is called Parenting from the Inside Out. It is so good. It's kind of old school. I think it was written like many decades ago, but it's still very good in the sense that it helps you kind of go back into recognizing how were you parented? What again felt good about that? What didn't feel good? And then from that, you can kind of take those values into your own parenting situation now, and you can communicate that with your partner. So the partner stuff, that's something where you are constantly communicating. Now let's turn over to the in-laws, because that's like a whole nother ballpark, I feel like. But again, every situation is going to be different, of course. But if, let's just say, you don't have a great relationship with the in-laws, because I think right off the bat, if you do, you probably have similar values if you have a really good relationship with them. That's just usually common. So if you do not have a good relationship, you and your partner, you're a team. And I really think it's important to have that mindset that this is your family unit. It is not your parents or your in-laws unit. It's just not. they can have importance. We can still show respect and honor to them. You can still be like, yeah, that was great for you back then to parent that way, but we don't want to parent this way. And that is hard. I'm not going to like sugarcoat that. That's a hard thing to do. But I hear that one a lot too. I think it is really challenging to communicate your own, like, you know, mom, dad, or like mother-in-law, father-in-law, we don't want to, maybe let's just use the example of like hugs, for example. Like this has been a big one, I think, for our parenting generation, where when we were growing up, you know, you were told go hug Aunt Susie, even if you don't want to, like just go do it. And nowadays we're reflecting a little differently on, well, it's your body. Like you get to decide who you're hugging and who you're not, right? And I think that can be really hard on different generations to understand why you wouldn't just, you know, go show respect, go hug your aunt. You know, you need to do that, where it's like, well, you could show respect in a different way if your child doesn't feel like being touched, and that's okay. But that's a really hard conversation to do. And so I think really being clear on your values, clear with your partner, and then agreeing that like, okay, we're going to hold this boundary. It's not a request. It's a boundary for us that we're not going to parent our children this way, or we're not going to do that, whatever it is. So it is hard.
I mean, I feel like this one could be a whole episode long.
Oh yeah,
you know? And one thing that came up for me right away is, do you recommend that like Amy talks to Amy's parents and my husband Drew talks to Drew's parents if it is one of those harder boundary conversations?
I think that could be really helpful, but I also don't know that that necessarily needs to be the only option, because again, I think being a team is really important. And so if, let's just say, you don't feel comfortable talking to Drew's mom about something, you're like, oh, I don't know, like, it's okay. Maybe just you and Drew can talk to her about something. And as you build more confidence in your own values and who you are and what you believe for your family, it'll become easier to maybe confront her on your own someday. But I think it's fine if you want to do your own parents, but I wouldn't make it like you don't ever talk to your mother-in-law. Yeah.
So I have great in-laws and we've grown a lot, and I actually found it easier to go straight to her because I felt like Drew he would like emphasize something too much or something not enough. And I was like, honestly, I know I can be kind to her and get the message across in a way where my very like unconfrontational husband doesn't seem like he's able to do that. So I feel like in the journey of motherhood, which is what we're talking about today, you kind of figure it out. We tried the telephone game first and that didn't work. So like now we're just more straight communicators. Okay. So I want to talk about this idea that for a lot of us, motherhood has a tendency to really swallow us up. I know my friends started a business called the Matrescence, and that word means the process of becoming a mom. And I think in my process, and I think in yours too, it's not this linear, easy, natural thing. So I want you to talk to the moms that are feeling a little bit lost right now and who they are. What do you think is the best way that they can start to feel more like themselves again?
Yeah. And I really haven't met a woman who really didn't feel different after becoming a mom. Like, I just have not met that woman yet. So if you're out there, like, reach out.
Okay, you know what? One woman, the woman that works for us, Lacey, she had, I would say, one of the easier motherhood transitions that I've seen. And I think, well, this is only one person, so it's hard to say, but like, I think the big difference is her family and his family both live in this town. And so the support that they have is really high. And I think that that really helped her have time to seek her own things always. Like even with her first, it was just like normal to her that she should take a break.
That is so interesting.
She said she never really struggled with mom guilt. I was like, I was in my house. Like, no, she really does. And I believe her because I see it. I know.
That's incredible. I mean,
I know.
She needs to join us for this conversation.
I know.
I would love
I
to
think
learn
the
from her.
close, and I've told her, I'm like, I think that close support of people that really want to help makes a big difference. And we don't all have that.
Yeah, I could believe that too, because I mean, even looking at our own culture, right? We're so individualistic and we are not raising our babies in communities like more of a communal society, right? So that would make a lot of sense to me of why she was able to maybe feel like it wasn't a big transition. But I know for the rest of us, it typically is a really big transition. So Lacey, that is wonderful for you. We love that. But, you know, I think when we're feeling really lost and really just unsure of who we are and we just want to feel like ourselves again, I'm going to kind of go back to, you know, figuring out like what makes you feel good. Like if you don't know like what makes you feel like you, like it's going to be really hard to get back to you because you don't even know what that looks like. And so whether, you know, it is looking back prior to motherhood, that's fine. But I think also, you know, it's constant change, right? Our whole life. I can't go back to childhood and be like, well, I want to feel like what it felt like to be climbing trees out in my front yard. Like, okay, well, I'm not going to probably embrace that in my adulthood the same way. It's going to be different, but I can take elements of that, right? Of like, wow, what did I love about climbing trees all the time? And I mean, like I was a big climber. Like that's what I did.
Dude, I was too. I feel like no Midwest, we just go up those trees.
Yeah, your parent just sent you out and hours later I'd be like singing in the tree. I don't know what I was doing, but I think recognizing, you know, what is it that really makes you feel good? And even in motherhood in different stages, that also changes. Like I know for me, early on in motherhood, the 0 to 1 was for sure my hardest transition. I did not have any clue what was about to happen. And you're so sleep deprived and on a different level than you even thought you'd be. And that was really hard then to figure out, you know, who am I still? Like, what do I like? Like, I don't know. I can't even like think straight, right? Like, it's just a different challenge then versus now when all my kids are potty trained, like, it is easier to figure out for me who am I? What are things that light me up? What makes me feel like me again? Because I have a little more time. And so I'm saying that in more of a encouragement that if you're in the trenches of it, like it stinks in that season. It is really hard. But I think even like what you brought up with Lacey, finding that community, finding somebody who can give you that space. Maybe it's your partner. And again, communicating to them, I need an hour. I need 5 minutes. I need something alone. And I think alone, honestly, sometimes can be a real key. I think for sure you want to be social. You want to keep up with friends. That's a different thing. But when you're talking about really rediscovering who you are and finding you and figuring out like, yeah, what lights you up again? I think we need some introspection. I really do. And I think in the culture we live in, you're right. It's like, go, 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 busy, busy, busy all the time. We don't allow ourselves to just sit in our thoughts, right? Like I know for me, like I know you guys do too. Go outside. I love to walk. I usually always have a podcast or an audiobook or I'm listening to something, but on the rare occasion, my AirPods die or whatever, I am in silence, right? And I have this opportunity that turns out always to be beautiful because I'm in my own headspace. I'm just thinking. And what kind of thoughts pop in? What kind of things am I thinking about? Those are things to take note of because oftentimes those are things that either I am craving more of to get back to more of myself. Maybe they're things that light me up. Maybe I get business ideas or maybe, you know, whatever it is, if I don't give myself the time to actually form my thought, like it is really hard to get back to you and what makes you feel like you.
I really like how you touched on like it does change season to season. And when I was in the throes of having very little kids, babies, for me, it was like a 25-minute walk outside as soon as Drew got home. And then every night I would take a shower Like, I just, and I know everyone on the internet's like, I haven't showered in days, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, to feel myself, I really have to take a shower. And I know that. And so, like, every day I'm going to make that happen. And so, in that season, it was a walk and a shower. And that was honestly like as much time as I could muster. So, if you're in that season, we have totally been there too. And I think just even those really small windows are very helpful.
And now, a quick break to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Expecting and Empowered. Have you ever wondered, is this workout safe to do after having a baby? What should I do to recover in postpartum? If you have, you're not alone. And the good news is, we've got a program for you. Whether you've had a cesarean or a vaginal birth, our app is designed to meet you exactly where you are and help you to restore your pelvic floor, core, and rebuild strength after having a baby. One of our app users said, I worked out religiously prior to pregnancy and felt so lost postpartum until I found these ladies. The workouts are just the right length to be able to fit it into a busy day. C-section recovery is no joke, and they've built the guide from experience and expertise. You can sign up for the app now for 25% off with the promo code podcast25. This brings the yearly subscription down to just $10 a month, and this includes every app program, including strength training, yoga, core, and running. Visit app.expectingandempowered.com to sign up today, and we'll see you guys in the app.
Crystal and I obviously believe so much in the connection between the mind and the body. And when I became a mom, especially, I started craving movement and exercise for my mental well-being. Like, that was the reason I would seek exercise, is because it really helped me mentally. So as a therapist, I was wondering if you could talk about movement and how this fits into the picture of mental health.
Yes. And there is so much research. If you just take a little Google dive someday and just ask that question, so many wonderful things will pop up about it. I mean, there really isn't a negative one that I know about that comes up. And we know, you're right, like, everything is connected: our mind, our soul, our body, mental health, all of it. We are a whole being. We are not parts of a person. And I think that's really important too, is that we can work on one area. Like, it's not bad to just focus on the body for a while, but to realize that, okay, but the body is also connected then to your mental health. It's connected to your mind. Like, how is that going to impact it? Well, likely positively, if it's, you're moving your body out of, like, I'm caring for my body. You know, it's different if you're like just going so hard that it's like hurting. I mean, that's going to impact you differently, right? And so I think it's really important too, to note, like, we know, I know for walking, and probably why I love it so much and why all of those thoughts come in, like I was saying, is that we know that the brain is always like looking forward. Like, your eyes are always scanning our surroundings. We're looking for danger. We're looking for just anything that would endanger us. And our body's goal is to protect us. Our mind's job is to protect us. And so let's take walking, for example. When I'm moving my body in that way, I am kind of getting the blood flowing, of course. So physically, obviously, we're exercising, but then also for the mind, it is healing itself in a sense. Like, I'm trying to think of a better term to use, but in a sense, it's allowing us to process all of the stress that we have in our body mentally. So not only are we doing that physically, but we're doing it mentally and emotionally as well, right? So you can just think, like, you know, maybe you're really stressed out today as you're listening to this episode. Maybe you're out on a walk listening to this episode. I would imagine that A, you're feeling less stress in your body. And I would guess when you're done with the walk, your mind is going to feel way less stress too. And so it's just an idea of like how connection really works with movement. And it's just really important. We just know that it really helps with anxiety and overwhelm and depression. I mean, it just everything. Like, it really, really impacts us. So even if it's not a walk, maybe it's lifting weights, maybe it's doing a couple push-ups, you know, any kind of body movement, picking up your babies. That counts as body movement for me. Obviously, I would like you to like maybe do a little bit more to relieve
the
stress.
Expecting
but you know what
Empowered
I mean.
app, please.
That's right. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing for me, because I've always kind of been active, I was a personal trainer before I was a nurse, and a nurse, you move a lot too, is just I wish people would give it a try. Because I think when a therapist is sitting here and being like, I'm telling you, if you would just go on a 20-minute walk outside, you're like, what would that do for me? But then when you do it, you're like, oh my gosh, I get it. You know? So if you're out there and you don't have much movement right now, I would say start small. But I think before long, you're going to see what all of us are talking about when we're like, this is a key part of my mental health, especially during motherhood, where anxiety can creep in for even those of us that don't really have that tendency. Okay. I think one of the hardest things for moms is that most of us have these expectations of how it's going to go and the type of mother we're going to be. And then when our reality doesn't meet our expectations, we can be really hard on ourselves. We can be really sad. We can get really hung up on it. I know for me, and I think for you too, breastfeeding was one of those areas where I thought it was going to, I don't even know, like when I say it out loud, it sounds dumb, but I'm just going to be really honest. I thought it was going to come really naturally to me. And I was like, I'm definitely doing it for a year. Like I had all of these ideas without ever having done it one time in my life. So I want you to talk through your personal experience and how this really does impact moms.
Well, it's interesting you brought up that topic because that honestly was the one I was going to talk about because it was very similar to me. And I really just my expectation got completely blown out of the water. I, you know, going into motherhood almost 10 years ago now, everyone just said, that's what you do. You breastfeed. Yes, of course there was formula. There was maybe a shift in the culture of allowing that to be, you know, quote, okay then. But it was frowned upon then even, I mean, it was expected that you were going to breastfeed and it was easy. And if you didn't figure it out, well, you're kind of a crappy mom. And that's how it felt when it didn't really go how I thought. For me, also my first child, he had a horrendous latch. It was seriously the most excruciating pain I have ever. I was, you know, my mom was lucky enough to be with me the first like week or two at our house after giving birth. And I would just be sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I was like, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. And I think what is so hard in that moment is that, you know, it worked fine for my mom. You know, it really did. She didn't have these problems and she was trying to help. She was trying to adjust, but she didn't understand when I said it hurt so bad. Right. And I went to see the lactation consultant. They would be helpful. You know, at that time they didn't really come into the home as often as I think they do now. And so I was going to this office. I'm like, my couch doesn't look like that. Like, sure, it's working like a little better, I guess, but it still hurt. And it really gets to you, I think, when those expectations aren't met, right? Because for me, it just felt like, yeah, I failed. Like I was looking forward to motherhood basically since I was a little girl. I couldn't wait. And here I am and I can't even feed my baby. And I don't want to do formula. I want to breastfeed. I want to make it work. And with one kid at that time, I was able to exclusively pump. That sucks still, but I felt in my mind like, oh, see, like I'm still doing it. And so was that great? I don't know. I mean, it was fine. I did it for 6 months, which was a real commitment. And then I was at that point mentally where I had to let it go, that it was, that it wasn't, didn't make me a bad mom. It was going to be okay. My baby was okay. He was still going to get the nutrients he needed, but it was really, really, really hard. And I think for so many women, there's so many things, whether it's breastfeeding or something else, that it just, society just slams us. I mean, it just can feel like everyone is doing it and everyone else has it figured out. And it kind of goes back to that comparison piece a little bit. And you're looking at, you know, your neighbor and you're like, why is it work? She makes it look so easy. Like, this is not easy. I don't get it. Like, am I stupid? Like what is going on here? Right. And it's just really, really hard. But if you can Again, I think recognize that your journey is going to be unique. It's going to be different than, you know, the whole of motherhood. Like, that's such a large term, right? Like, adulthood, child. I mean, these are like massive concepts when we're talking about it. And yet you are in there somewhere in motherhood journey, and that it's okay. You're going to figure out what works for you and your child and your family. And it's not going to look the same. And being different is actually the beautiful part of it. And I think that took me a while to get there, to recognize I don't need to do everything that everyone's telling me to do to, quote, be a good mom. I can just be me, and I can instill my values and my family's values. And that's what's going to make it beautiful. Like, that's what makes motherhood beautiful, is when I'm living out my truth.
Yeah, I think it's really hard when comparison creeps up too much. Like, Crystal had a very easy breastfeeding journey. I literally saw it with my own eyes. I was there when she was feeding her baby. She had no pain, no issue. Like, it went beautifully. And then I had a really, really, really rough time with it. But then when you think about it, Crystal had a C-section, and that's not what she wanted. So, like, we all have things that don't go the way that we wish that they would. And we like to speak about them because I think a lot of people go through that. And they're like, why is it so much easier for everyone else? Everyone has a hard thing or two or three that they go through. And so I just had to really remind myself to level set that. Like, that's not their hard thing, and that's okay. This is my hard thing. As we end, we mentioned this in the very beginning, but we each have three boys. And that experience, in my experience, my household is wild. It is overstimulating. There is more energy in this household. And they'll sometimes say that to me. Trey, my middle child especially, will be like, I have so much energy in my body, I don't know what to do with it. So as the mom, it can be really hard in my experience to stay mentally well, because there's always something going on, wrestling, loud noises, whatever it is. So how do you stay feeling well in the chaos that is your motherhood?
Yeah, and you nailed everything. Our house is like the same. It's just loud, very loud all the time.
I also have a loud husband. I'm like, I can't get, I literally cannot get, I don't know what I need, but this house is way too loud for me.
You know, I think I'll mention three things that I think really help me. The first one is getting outside. And this one is such a win because of so many different things. Like, again, you could have an entire episode on that. I mean, you can get sunlight, you can get your vitamin D, you can get fresh air. It's a great way to get the energy out for all your kids and also get the body movement in for yourself, whether it's taking that walk. Maybe you're just like walking around the yard, like following the kids. Maybe it's following them on their bike or their tricycle or stroller or whatever. But I think getting outside can just, that change of scenery can be so helpful when you're feeling overstimulated and overwhelmed in the home. And even, you know, you're in Wisconsin, I'm in Minnesota. Yeah, the winters definitely change things, and I get a little more overstimulated because it is freezing outside. But even just doing it for a little bit, it's so good. It just like changes everything. Everybody's mood changes, even if they didn't want to go out in the first place. So I would just encourage you to get outside. It's so good for your mental health. It's good for your kids' mental health. It's just a win. There's really nothing negative I can think of about it. The second one is, we kind of mentioned this earlier in the episode, but just having some alone time, whatever that means, to give yourself some self-reflection. Like, maybe you do what you're doing and having that shower like every night is your thing. That is a great time to do some self-reflection. You're obviously, well, most of the time probably alone. You know, maybe your baby's in the room or whatever, but generally you're alone. So that's a great opportunity to just kind of habit stack that exercise maybe in, and you just ask yourself, you know, like, what went well today? Or what do I want to go well today if you're showering in the morning? And then third thing I will say too is just learning to be okay to ask for help. And that can look different in different seasons. It could look like, you know, accepting that therapy isn't a negative thing. Maybe you go talk to a therapist and they're able to help you get some more tools in that season, because it is an extremely big transition, becoming a mom, becoming a parent, even in different seasons of motherhood. There are challenges that you don't know are coming, and it can be really helpful to talk to somebody outside that can speak into your life that might not be in your like actual bubble. Maybe it's even just communicating with a girlfriend. Maybe it's communicating with your partner, but learning that it's okay. It doesn't make you less than as a mom. It doesn't make you weak to ask for help. It actually is the opposite. It shows an opportunity to be vulnerable, which is brave. And so just having that mindset shift of asking for help if you need it is going to be so beneficial for your mental health.
Absolutely. I love that. I feel like everyone needs a few friends that they can be really honest with. And that is very helpful in your journey. I just think back to like trying to almost pretend that I was doing fine and everything was fine. And it was a new role. And I somehow wanted to pretend I had all this experience and it was going fine for me when it was actually really hard. Okay, so I want you to tell everyone where they can find more of you and the work that you do.
Yeah, well, I'm very active over on Instagram at Experienced Motherhood. So you can come on over there, send me a message, say hi. And then you can also get a ton of my resources over on my website at experiencedmotherhood.com. I actually have a course all about this exact topic of finding you again in motherhood. It really comes from a therapeutic perspective. And so it's kind of an opportunity for you if you don't feel like you have the time to maybe go see a therapist, but you're looking for some tools. It would be a great thing to just dive into that might maybe propel you into wanting to someday go seek some more help, as well as lots of resources for your kids' mental health and other mom mental health stuff. And then, of course, I also have a podcast called Experienced Motherhood, and I'd love to have you come take a listen over there.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you shared it on Instagram, tagging Experience Motherhood and Expecting and Empowered. And thank you so much for listening.